with regard to seeing consciousness and visible object, we cannot say that they arise at the same time. And also we cannot say that they arise together. Because seeing a visible object may be outside of ourselves, or say maybe our hands or our feet, anything. So they do not arise at the same time, and they do not arise together, but they are present at the moment they are related to each other. So that is why we cannot have cognizance, and when there is no cognizance, there can be no mutuality. So there is support and what is ten. Prenascence and so on. Prenascence means the visible object arises just before the seeing consciousness arises. So when seeing consciousness arises, it has already existed. And then vipaka manayatana. That means vipaka consciousness. To vipaka mind contact. Now, vipaka manana means consciousness, and vipaka mind contact means contact. They arise together, and so there can be cognizance, mutuality, and so on, like that. Then, let's go to next. Feeling, right? So there are six kinds of feeling first. What are they? Eye contact born feeling. So feeling born of eye contact. That really means feeling concomitant with eye contact. You see something, and then there is seeing consciousness, and along with seeing consciousness there is feeling. So that feeling is called feeling born of eye contact. So born of eye contact, ear contact, and so on. So there are six kinds of feeling here. And then in the verse it is said, but from the 980 feelings, 32 no more appear associated with result, and only those are mentioned here. So by feeling here is meant the feeling or mental factor which is concomitant with 32 types of resultant consciousness only. Now, feeling accompanies every type of consciousness. So there are 89 types of consciousness. And so feeling, we can see there are 89 feelings. But only those that are concomitant with the 32 resultant consciousness are meant here. So we have to take only those 32. So, but from the 980 feelings, 32 no more appear associated with result. And only those are mentioned here. And then contact in five doors and so on. So that is... use these sheets. But five doors, conditioned by contact, feeling arises, right? So feeling born of eye contact, etc., are feeling. And vedana, concomitant with 32 vipaka chetas, resultant consciousness, are to be taken. So eye contact to vedana, or feeling dependent on eye base, etc., 6, 7, 8, and so on. So when you see something, there is seeing consciousness, and along with seeing consciousness, there is contact, and there is feeling. So they arise at the same time. Then contact is related to feeling, or contact conditions feeling by way of cognizance, mutuality, and so on. Because they arise at the same time, and they support each other. So in this way, we have to understand. Then let's see, mind contact to feeling concomitant with Oh, tadaramana kamajra vibhaga. There are two technical here. But if you look at the list of the conditions, you see 6, 7 and so on. So when you see 6, 7, then you can safely say that they arise at the same time. So they are not real cause and effect. Then next one, craving. How many kinds of craving? First, 6 kinds of craving. Craving for visible object, for sound, for smell, and so on. So there are 6 kinds of craving. That is by way of objects. Visible, these are cravings, sound, odor, flavor, tangible data, and mental data craving. Yeah. And then in the paragraph 235, we have the explanation of the three kinds of cravings. Sense desire craving, and then craving for, it is commonly translated as craving for existence and craving for annihilation. But we must understand according to this explanation, it's very important, because these three words appear in the first sermon also. When Buddha defines the second noble truth, Buddha said, it is just this craving which causes rebirth and which takes delight in this life and in that life and so on. And they are three. The one is in Pali, kama tanha, is craving for sense desire. And then second one is called vibhava tanha, and it is called craving for becoming. But in fact, craving for becoming means craving that is concomitant with the wrong view that things are eternal. So that is craving for becoming. Not just a craving for becoming actually, but craving for becoming always accompanied by a wrong view that things are eternal. And then the next one, craving for annihilation. That means craving accompanying the view that everything is annihilated at death. So there is no other being, nothing arising as rebirth. So there are three kinds of, it is another different division of craving. The first is into 6, and these 6 can be each of these six can be divided into 3: craving for sense desire, craving concomitant with eternalist view, and craving concomitant with annihilationist view. So these are the three kinds of craving, and these are mentioned in the first sermon. So 6 multiplied by 3, we get 18. Then these 18 can be multiplied by 2, internal and external. So we get 36. And these 36 can belong to the past, to the future, and to the present. So 36 plus 36 plus 36, you get 108 kinds of craving. You should be familiar with this, because in some sutras it is always mentioned that 108 kinds of craving, 108 kinds of craving.
Sometimes you say 108 delusions.
108 illusions?
Delusions.
Oh, delusions. Uh-huh.
108 beads.
Yeah, 108 beads, I hit the bell 108 times each for each
delusion. Yeah. Now, and how are they related, the feeling and craving? So, paragraph 230, just above that. In one way, it is a condition as decisive support condition only. So only decisive support condition. Decisive support condition is the widest of the 24 conditions. So if you cannot explain by way of any other condition, you can just say, oh, they are related by way of decisive support condition. So, feeling is a condition for craving by way of decisive support. Now, decisive support means not arising at the same time. And then, another way of explaining is, or alternatively, a man in pain for pleasure longs, and finding pleasure longs for more. The peace of equanimity is counted pleasure too. Therefore, the great sage announced the law with feeling as condition craving, since all three feelings thus can be conditioned for all kinds of craving. Though feeling is conditioned, still without inherent tendency, no craving can arise, and so from this the perfect saint is free. Now, another way of explaining is, when you are in pain, you long for pleasure, you long for pleasant feeling. So, feeling can be a condition for craving. You have pain here, but you are attached to a pleasant feeling. So it can cause craving for pleasant feeling. And then, a man finding pleasure longs for more. So if you have a pleasant feeling, you want to keep it. You don't want it to disappear. So there also, craving is conditioned by feeling. Then what about equanimity feeling? The peace of equanimity is counted pleasure too. So it is included in pleasurable feeling. If we divide feeling into only two, pleasurable and displeasurable, then the equanimity falls into pleasurable. If it is pleasurable, then you may be attached to it, and so it can be the condition for craving. So all three kinds of feeling are conditions for craving. So this is another way of explaining. And here, the feeling is a condition for craving means when there is inherent tendency. That means if you do not have inherent tendencies in your mind, even though you have a feeling, you will not have craving. For example, in the minds of Buddhas and Arahants, they have feeling, but they do not have craving, because they have no, in Pali it's called anusya, no inherent tendencies. They have eradicated the liability to get craving. So here we have to understand the meaning of this link, this phrase. Yes, there is depending on craving, depending on feeling, there is craving. Now, it does not mean that there is always craving when there is feeling. When there is feeling, there may or may not be craving. So in the footnote, there towards the end of the footnote. Or alternatively, it may be recognized that this condition is accompanied by inherent tendency because it follows upon the words with ignorance as condition. And with the words, with feeling as condition craving, the ruling needed is this. There is craving only with feeling as condition, and not with feeling as condition, there is, always craving. Only here means always. There is always craving. So we are not to understand that with feeling as condition, there is always craving. There may or may not be craving. And then, what about us? We are not arahants. But with meditation, with mindfulness meditation, we can avoid having craving for feelings. Even though we have a painful feeling or pleasant feeling, we are mindful of it, and so we do not have craving for it. So this is the only place where we can cut the round of the dependent origination. In the other links are those we cannot do anything about. When there is ignorance, there will always be karma formations. When there are karma formations, there will always be consciousness and so on. But here, although there is feeling, we can avoid having craving. And when this is broken, then other links are also broken. So when we practice meditation, we are cutting this wheel of existence at this place.
So the craving does not arise.
Right. Because we were mindful of it and saying pain, or say pleasant. But when we need a strong mindfulness. No, not just superficial awareness. And then next is the clinging. Right? Yeah, there are four kinds of clinging. Sense desire clinging, false view clinging, rite and ritual clinging, and self-doctrine clinging. Now the first one is just sense desire. It is called clinging. And the second one is wrong view. The third one is also wrong view, taking rites and rituals as leading to attainment of enlightenment. And self-doctrine means belief or a wrong view that there is a self, there is something which lasts forever. Now, with regard to rite and ritual clinging, what is mentioned in our books is you see the about four or five lines above the footnote, you see, for ox asceticism, ox vows, etc., are themselves kinds of clinging too. So, the Pali word here is sila and vada. So, sila is translated, they are translated here as rite and ritual. But the real meaning in the suttas and in the explanation given in the commentaries is not just rites and rituals, but it is it is called here ox asceticism, ox vows. That means behaving like an ox, or behaving like a dog. So by behaving like an ox, they believe that they can get rid of a craving, they can get rid of attachment and so on. Or by behaving like a dog, that they can get rid of desires and wants and so on. So they practice such behavior. And there are two persons during the time of the Buddha who one of them was the follower of the ox asceticism, and the other the dog asceticism. So they went to the Buddha and asked whether their practice was right or wrong. Buddha said, "Don't ask me," but they persisted. So in the end, Buddha said, "Now you ask me, and so I have to answer. Those who follow the dog's asceticism will be reborn as dogs." So taking just those as a way to emancipation is what is called rite and ritual clinging. And then we can extend that to mean, if we take just, say, we do chanting, right? All Buddhists do chanting. So if we take chanting to be the real way to emancipation, then it may be a right and ritual, something like right and ritual wrong view. We do chanting, that is for our, say, what you call, calmness of mind, but we do not take it to be the only way for emancipation. Say we bow down before the Buddha, we chant, or we even keep precepts, and these are something like basic practices for emancipation, but they cannot directly lead us to enlightenment. For enlightenment, we have to practice meditation. So Satipatthana meditation is, as said by the Buddha, the only way to enlightenment. So if we take bowing down before the Buddha as a way to enlightenment, if we do not practice meditation, then we may be having this kind of clinging, wrong view. Doing these rites and rituals, if they are not carried too far, I think it's all right, because they make us calm and set our minds. And we can be tranquil so that we can practice meditation. But if we do not practice meditation, but just do chanting or just keep sila and so on, then it may be a wrong view. So there are these four kinds of clinging.
Bhante, would you say that this is a sort of a critique of Confucianism? Or Confucian...
I don't know how what they practice. The correct view according to the Buddha, or say interpretation of the commentators, is that the only way to Nibbana is Satipatthana, because it is expressly said by the Buddha at the beginning of the sutta that this is the only way for the purification of beings and so on. So this this is the real correct way to attainment of enlightenment. If we take others to be the way to the attainment of enlightenment, then we have the wrong view. That means they alone can lead us to enlightenment. So keeping sila alone can lead us to enlightenment. We do not need to do any meditation. So that is a wrong view according to this interpretation. And then let's go to becoming. So there are two kinds of becoming to understand here. In Pali it is called kama becoming and bhava becoming. Paragraph 250. it becomes, thus it is becoming. And that is twofold as karma process becoming and rebirth process becoming. So in this phrase, depending on clinging, becoming arises. Here, becoming has to, we must understand that becoming means two things. So one is karma process becoming, and the other is rebirth process becoming. Karma process becoming simply means karma. So it is the same as sankhara, mental formations. And rebirth process becoming means rebirth. Because of clinging, both can arise. So because of clinging, it is explained in detail in this book. Because of clinging, sometimes we do good karma, sometimes we do bad karma. Say we want to be reborn, we reborn in a better world. So, and we think that it is good to be reborn in a better world, and so we do meritorious deeds. Or sometimes we may be misdirected, and we may kill an animal to sacrifice with the belief that we'll be reborn in a better existence. So, clinging can be conditioned for our good or bad actions, good or bad deeds. So, that is karma. And as a result of clinging and also of karma, we'll be reborn, say, in a better existence or in a worse existence, and that is also another becoming. So, in this link between clinging and becoming, we can take both becoming to mean here. So, because of clinging, there is karma becoming, and also there is rebirth becoming. Now, the mental formations and the karma becoming are the same. They are the volition, mental volition. But the mental formation belong to the past time, and here the karma process or karma becoming belongs to present time. So the time is different. But there is a very slight difference mentioned in the Visuddhimagga too. And then with regard to next, there are nine karma becoming you get given in the paragraph 253, 254, and so. And there is a saying in paragraph 261 about four lines down, for the ordinary man is like a madman. So that is a very famous, famous phrase used in our country. Ordinary man means putujana. So putujana is like a madman. 261. So this phrase is quoted by people very often. Say if you want to say something about people doing some crazy things, we say, oh, putujana is like a madman. And then the link between becoming and rebirth. Now, there, becoming means just what? Karma process becoming. We cannot take becoming to mean rebirth there, because it is a condition for rebirth. So, in the link between clinging and becoming, we must take becoming to mean both, karma becoming and bhava becoming. But in the link between becoming and rebirth, becoming means only karma becoming, because bhava becoming is the same as rebirth. So that is a difference. And then depending upon rebirth, sorrow, lamentation, and so on also arise. They are not explained here because they have been explained in the chapter on the Noble Truths. Now next comes the wheel of becoming, and so it is explained as a wheel, because the ignorance is put at the beginning of this teaching, but it is not the beginning of the round of rebirth. It is just beginning of the teaching, and so at the end also the old age and death are put at the end of this teaching, but it is not to mean the end of the whole round of rebirth, because there is, when there is old age and death, and also when there are sorrow, lamentation, and so on, there is also ignorance. If there is no ignorance, there can be no sorrow, lamentation, and so on. So when we are sorry, we lament for something, experiencing mental anguish and so on, there is also ignorance. So when there is ignorance, there are mental formations and so on. So this wheel of rebirth goes on and on and on like this. So that is why it is called a wheel of rebirth, wheel of becoming. This teaching is, and then there are some things to be understood with regard to this teaching, and so they are given in another sheet. I don't know whether you have those sheets with you.
Yeah,
I got this extra sheet. Father
didn't get these. Yes. So, with regard to these 12 links, we have to understand the three times or three periods, 12 factors, 20 modes, 3 connections, 4 divisions, 3 rounds, and 2 roots. Now, some of the English words may be different from the path of purification. So, for 3 periods, please write the paragraph numbers down. For 3 periods, paragraph 287. And for 20 modes, 293. For 3 connections, 289. 4 divisions, 290. And for 3 rounds, 298. And for 2 roots, 285. And then 4 kinds of profundity and 4 methods with regard to which to the dependent origination is to be understood. So these 4 methods are more important than the 4 profundities. So the dependent origination is profound in its meaning, in its teaching and so on. So, in the kinds of profundity, on paragraph 304, profundity of meaning means profundity as to fruit. Meaning does not mean the meaning of words, but here it means the fruit or the result. And the profundity of law means profundity as to causes. It's on page 674. There are four kinds of profundity mentioned there. So profundity of meaning means profundity of fruits. And profundity of law means profundity of causes, or profundity as to causes, of teaching and of penetration are the same. So Patijasamubbada is profound as to fruits, as to causes, as to teaching, and also as to penetration. It is very important to penetrate into the individual essence of each factor mentioned in this in this teaching. And then there are four methods of treating the meaning here. That is very good. So we have to understand with reference to these four methods. And the first is the method of identity, the second method of diversity, the third method of uninterest, and the fourth the method of ineluctable regularity. So these are the four methods with which we must understand the dependent origination. So the method of identity means there is something like a continuity going on, not just disconnected bits. So they are connected bits, so there is some kind of continuity. And then there is a method of diversity. Although they are in a continuity, each one is different from the other. They are actually diverse from one another. And then the method of uninterest means that means unconcerned. The avijja, I mean, ignorance has no concern that, I must produce, condition mental formations. And mental formations have no concern we must produce consciousness and so on. So that is called the method of uninterest. And the method of ineluctable regularity means the mental formations are conditioned only by ignorance, and not by other factors, something like that, not by other things. So, ineluctable regularity means I had the difficulty with this word. I gave talks on the Patijasamubbada at one of my retreats, and then I didn't bring my dictionary there, and there was not a single dictionary at that place. In the library there are a lot of books, religious books, but no dictionary. So I asked the yogis to tell me the meaning of this, and the three people offered me the meanings they thought was the meaning of the word, because they did not have the dictionary either. And all of them gave me the wrong meaning. So it was in the tape. They thought ineluctable means unknowable or something. But in the dictionary it is said it is not to be avoided or overcome or inevitable. So inevitable regularity. That means mental formations can be conditioned by avijja only, and so on. So these are the four methods, and they are actually the first two methods are most important, because we must understand how to explain things. Although we say a being is reborn there, we do not mean that it is identical, or it is the something from the one life and goes to another life. So we have to understand this with reference to at least these two methods, the method of identity and method of diversity. So we have to combine these two together and understand. If we take only one, then we will fall into one kind of wrong view. So these four methods are very important. Now, so we come to the end of dependent origination.
So we'll start up again. May 3rd is one day we could start up, or should we start the last week in April? Bhante is doing a whirlwind tour. He says many stops, he'll be back in April.
Yes.
May 3rd might work best on our schedule. Uh-huh.
Yes.
And then we could go to the end of June. That's 9 meetings. I think we'll only need 8. But I was, I don't know if we might skip the first one in June for the conference at Greenville.
We
have another.
We have a retreat, no.
You do.
Not till July.
Our retreat is the end of June.
Yeah, the end of June and April.
So we.
At the end of April? So
no,
to start.
It's in the middle actually, 13th through the 19th.
You're going around the world?
No,
Japan.
Florida and Japan.
Florida?
So, so you mean May? May the 3rd? Six, seven, eight. Yeah. That would be nice. May 3rd, yes.
So, May 3rd will start again. That's a Thursday night. And each class is worth. There might be one that we skip or something else, basically for May 3rd.
Oh, we can have review even.
Six, seven,
that's right. We can begin again after we got through the
meeting.
Yeah. Actually, you can go to it.
Yeah, because the retreat doesn't start till Friday. So that's open still, too.
I think that would be 9 weeks. But there's the first week in June, which I'll be at a conference, so I was hoping you would be there too, Bhante. So,
yes.
Anyhow, if we start May 3rd, I think we can.
Let me see.
Compassion and action in everyday life, what is American code of conduct?
What is this going to be?
The Gringos.
Where? Gringos? When?
June 3rd through 8th, November 8th.
Oh, but that may be different. You may call from Gringos and ask me to be.
I think Ananda was trying to pitch for something else. Maybe we can work it out.
Oh, so it was July 24th and 25th.
Yeah, that was Ananda.
Oh, that was different.
That's just
different. I see. I thought you were just saying.
No, always different tracks though.
June 3rd and 4th is all right, yeah.
Thank you so much.
So May 3rd.
Yes.
And actually, I want to talk to you more about that conference, but maybe after you get back from LA, before you go to Florida, you could stop by and see you.
Yeah.
When will you be back?
I'll be back on the 26th.
And you're leaving on the
2nd. I think weekdays will be better.
Okay.
Glad you're coming.
You can.
He does chanting.
Saturday.
Just like the retreat.
Well,
Then there's, you know, just the meditators, because of course I told the people like about the retreat. Yeah, it's going to be actually, I'm going to bring those.